Very good. Why don't you take 1 second and say hello to someone next to you, give them a high five or a hug or something like that. How's everybody doing today? Amen. We want to say hello to everybody watching online and everybody in North County. God bless you. Three quick announcements. One, all the fellas, March 6th, it's in your bulletin. We're going to have a prayer meeting here March 6th. And actually, it's a men's ministry night. We're going to talk about prayer. We're going to talk about the vision of the church. So let me encourage you, March 6th, we want to get all the guys in here, fill this place up with guys, and hopefully that y'all are praying for an hour a day, spending time alone an hour a day with God. Amen? Amen? Amen. So, yeah, let's, all the fellas in here who are on board, let's say amen on three. One, two, three.
Amen.
Very good. March 6th. That's what I'm feeling. I'm feeling that. Ladies, doesn't that sound good? Yes. Yeah. Get your man right. Get your man right. Number two, I asked you last week if you have a phone. How many of y'all have a phone? Very good. Very good. And there's a social media, you got Facebook and Twitter, okay, that you would tweet out or send on Facebook something you hear in church, something God speaks to you. Every Sunday, every day, if you hear something on the radio, you read something in the Word, tweet it out. So I got a tweet from somebody that said, my dad asked me how to set up a Twitter account. So cute. It's called Twitter, and you tweet. It's not Twitter, okay? So you want to set up a Twitter account so you can tweet. I don't know if they come to these words, that's what it is, okay? Anyway, that's what it is. Oh, next week we're starting a series called Love Your City. I want to encourage you to come every Sunday and come on time. I took a picture at 8 o'clock today. How many of y'all were here at 8 o'clock? Very good. How many of y'all, well, we don't have to admit that you weren't here at 8 o'clock. But I took a picture at 8 o'clock. I wanted to see how much full it was compared to what it was now. I was saying maybe half. So I want to encourage y'all to come on time. You're missing some worship. I went outside and looked at all the people coming in. And after 8 o'clock, just a little peppy, no big deal. You know, it's between you and God, but I just want to keep challenging that. I ain't trying to put a guilt trip on you, but I'm just saying. It's just 8 o'clock, little kids here with y'all daughter join and enjoy the dance. Amen. They got here at 5:30, so just so you know, just so you know. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for your faithfulness. Thank you so much for your goodness, and I pray you encourage us today in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Amen. Let's see your Bible tonight. Today, to see your Bible, say word. One more time, say word. See your pens. Lesson plan. Let's turn to 2 Chronicles, Old Testament, not Corinthians, 2 Chronicles, chapter 20. And wherever you are in the world, God bless you, and we pray that God would encourage you today. If you're in the North County, God bless you. 2 Chronicles, chapter 20. 2 Chronicles, chapter 20. Like, man, where is 2 Chronicles? My goodness, I never read that book. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Why can't he pick something easy like Matthew or Genesis? Many, many years ago, I was at a youth camp speaking, and I was talking to some counselors, parents, counselors. And a young girl who was assaulted was brought to us because one of the women that was in the group I was talking to was her counselor or, you know, supervisor, if you will, cabin counselor, however you want to say it. And they brought this young girl, teenager, to the group and said so-and-so was assaulted. And the woman who was there dropped everything that she had in her hands, Bible, notebooks, whatever it is. And she was like, oh, my God. Yeah. And it was like the end of the world. And not that what happened to the young lady wasn't bad, but the first thing I thought was, it's now worse. And it was like, this is a horrible thing, and the world is over. It was a horrible thing what happened. But how you respond to trials is a direct reflection on the information you are focused on. I'm going to say that several times. I want you to think about this because all of us will always have drama. Amen? How many of y'all got drama in your life right now? Okay. How many of you know you're going to have drama? How many of you got a middle name called drama? Okay. Some people are drama magnets. How many of y'all know a drama magnet? Some people are drama magnets. In other words, as soon as something happens, it is drama. It doesn't have to be drama. Depends on what information you are focused on. As we talk about worship, worship is a spontaneous response at the revelation of God. And by let me say it again, a spontaneous response of respect at the revelation of God. Okay? And so when you respond to a situation, your response is a direct reflection of the information you are focused on. Now, there's the difference between information and truth. There's a difference between information and truth. Information is just information. It's not necessarily facts. It's just information. But there's a thing called truth and prevailing truth, lie scattering truth. Eternal truth is God's truth. And you have to distinguish between information, lies, and truth. Now, when something happens in your life, your drama, I want you to think about your drama. You are getting two sets of information. You're getting the devil's lies, and you're getting God's truth. Now, you may not be getting God's truth. You may only have the devil's lies. Therefore, that's all you see, and therefore, that's what you react to. When we talked about a couple weeks ago, how the last week when the devil wants you to worship him, we talked about false worship. He wants you to worship him by responding to his information. And so when something happens in your life, he's going to fill your head with his information, and he wants you to respond to that information, and then he's going to tell you how to get out of that response or overcome that response, which is all he's going to do is entangle you more in drama. So think about your drama. Think about what you're going through, and think about what information's in your head. It's the end of the world. You're going to go broke. You're going to be homeless. You're never going to be loved. You're never going to be married. You're never going to have a family. You're never going to have a job. All this garbage. That's dragging you down. And if that's the information you're focused on and you're responding to that, you're worshiping the devil. Now, let me very clarify. You're not saying, oh, Satan, bow down to you. He doesn't need you to say that. He just wants you to bow down to his information, his perspective. And then he'll put you in bondage to that. And you'll live your whole life with this weight on your back. Oh, my life is, I'm nothing. I'm never going to be anything. It's always going to be bad things happening in my life. How many of y'all can relate to what I'm talking about? Okay. So now the difference is what is the truth? Now, when we talk about worship as a weapon, is that when you respond to the truth, all of a sudden that burden changes. All of a sudden your perspective changes. Your reaction to your drama, how you see your trials is completely different. The Bible says in Hebrews 12:11 that no discipline seems peaceful or enjoyable, but painful. But if you're trained by your discipline, and I say discipline, anything that is happening in your life to correct you and purify your heart, if you are trained by it, you will bear fruit of righteousness in your life. In other words, when you're going through something painful, God can turn that into a lesson in your life. If you are trained by it, and you're going to be trained by it if you focus on the right information. For example, if your girlfriend just broke up with you, and you're like, oh, man, what am I going to do? Well, what are the facts? Is she who God wants you to be with? Or did you do something wrong? He probably did something wrong. How does God want to use that drama or whatever you're going through to purify your heart? How does God want to use that to draw you close to him? How does God want to use that to put you in a situation where you see his mighty hand? All these are facts versus it's the end of the world for you. So let's focus on the information. So again, when you're going through something and you want to pull out a weapon to overcome the burden of your trial, it doesn't mean that if you sing praises to God, your problem goes away. It means this, though. If you sing praises to God, the perspective on your problem goes away, changes. And the defeat the defeat and the perspective of being defeated will go away. Minimize. And you'll start to see them very different. So in this story we're going to look at, whenever we read stories in the Bible or narrative, you always want to identify with the characters in the story. In every narrative in the Bible, there's someone who represents God and there's someone who represents God's enemy. And in every story in the Bible, these characters, whether it be nations or individuals or whatever, they are in conflict with each other because the spirit and the flesh war with each other. And God's enemy, by definition, is someone who's against God's agenda, someone who's against God's people, someone who's against God's purposes. And then God's friend, by definition, is someone who's in favor of God's agenda, who's in favor of God's people and God's purposes. And because people are imperfect, neither one of these enemies or friends are perfect in what they do, but that's their perspective. And in the Bible, these stories are a story of conflict between God's enemies and God's friends. The whole Bible is a story about that, and every individual story is about that. Your lives, you are in narrative. Every single one of you are in many, many stories. With everybody you know, you're in a drama. And some of the people you know are on your side. You're both trying to be God's friend. Maybe you're not. But you're in conflict with someone who's against you. And so when you read the Bible, you want to identify the characters, and then you want to identify with one of the characters. Say, I'm going to be like this guy, or I want to be like this guy or woman. And you also identify with what they're going through, and you learn from what happens in the story, so you can apply it to your life. That's how you should read the Bible. Now, in a narrative, the narratives don't always say what should happen. They just say what did happen. In other words, David committed adultery with Bathsheba. David was a man after God's heart. He messed up a whole lot. Well, you shouldn't say, well, David was a man after God's heart, so let me look on my roof and go look at in the window of a girl taking a bath, which is what he did. He said, hey, what's up, girl? Come over here. I want to know your name. He came over and he got it. That's not what I'm saying. You should do that. That's what he did, and he paid a price for it. She got pregnant, and the baby died. So it's not what should happen, it's just what did happen. So when we read the story, you want to filter through what should happen and what did happen. But in this particular story, Jehoshaphat, which is the king of Judah, the Israelites, and to the south, he is going to be attacked by his enemies. He's got a problem. And he is going to focus on the facts that God is almighty, that God cannot be defeated, that God is faithful, that God is loving. Can I get amen? So in your drama, when we read this story, I want you to put yourself in Jehoshaphat's situation, that you are being attacked by an enemy bigger than you. Now let me say this: the devil, his demons are way bigger than you. One demon can smoke you in a second by yourself. You don't want to mess with the devil by yourself. He is too powerful, too smart, too conniving, too deceitful. He will crush you. Now, with Jesus on your side, a whole different story. But what are you focused on? Are you focused on the devil's lies? Are you focused on what he's doing to you? Or are you focused on Jesus? You want to focus on Jesus in the Bible and the truth of God, that he is almighty. And you want to focus on that. And you want to respond to that truth while you're in this drama. Imagine you just lost your job and you're praising God. Why? Because God is faithful. Your girlfriend, your boyfriend just left you and you're praising God because God is faithful. You don't know how you're going to pay your bills tomorrow, but you're praising God because God is faithful. Are you following me in this? And people are going, why are you singing? When Paul was in prison, he was chained up, just been beat, and he was praising God. And the guards are like, what are they doing? They're singing. They just got beat. They're in prison. And the angel came in and said, I got you. Unlock them up, freed them up. So listen. You know what I want to do today? I want to do something different. Go to your lesson plan. We're going to fill in the spaces first. And then we'll read the story. Number one in your lesson plan, worship places the battle in the Lord's hands. Ha ha. Lord, this is all your problem. Now let me clarify what that means. It doesn't mean you ain't gonna have to do anything. And don't mean he ain't gonna come back to you and say, yeah, it's my problem, so here's how I'm gonna fix it. You gotta do this and this and that. That's not what that means. It means, Lord, the battle is yours. I can't do this. So tell me what I should do. You and God form a majority. You and God are never a minority. Remember, I was talking about the difference between truth and lies, that truth, God's truth, is lie, liar, lie, untruth, lie, lie, scattering truth. What does that mean? That means light travels 186,000 miles per second, and when you go into a dark room and turn the light on, the room automatically, 100% of the time, lights up. Because the only thing faster than light, which travels 186,000 miles per second, is darkness running away. You've never gone into a room and turned the lights on and the lights come on and the room stays dark. That never happens. It's impossible. It can't. Why? Because light always chases darkness away. And light is a metaphor for many things. One is the spiritual light that God brings into our life. And so what you always want to do when something happens and all this darkness comes on you, you want to turn the light on. God, tell me the truth. And let the light, God's truth, scatter the darkness. And then let you see what's really going on, okay? So, number one, worship places the battle in the Lord's hand. Lord, this is yours. Shine your light in it. And God will say, here's what's really going on. Now, God may show you, you messed up. And you know what? You got to go to jail. That may happen. Or you know what? That girl, she was really a good girl, and you blew it, and she ain't coming back. Because you ain't ready. You blew it. Okay, it still ain't the end of the world. Now, he's going to come back and say, listen, she ain't coming back. Now, I'm going to get you another woman in time, but we got work to do, a whole lot of work. First, you got to buy some Tic Tacs. Brother, your breath is kicking. Got some minor adjustments to make. But my point is, you put it in God's hand, and then you let God do what he's going to do. Number two, you know, so we're going to read all this. Worship reminds Satan of his weaknesses before God. When the devil tells you, I got you, you say, yes, but I praise the Lord because he's going to crush you. I praise the Lord because he's going to crush you. And the devil says, oh, I know. You know what the Bible says? The devil trembles at God's word. What did Jesus do? Every time the devil tempted him in Matthew chapter 4, and we saw that last week, Jesus said the same words, it is written. Why did Jesus say it is written? He didn't have to say that. He could have just said me. He is the word. He didn't have to say anything. He just opened his clothes and say, and his glory would have just melted Satan. He didn't do that. Why? Because you and I can't do that. He said, it is written, because that's what he wants us to do. And when you speak truth to the devil, remember, truth is eternal truth, lie scattering truth. Satan's a liar. You want to speak God's word. You want to be reminded of God's word. You want to be reminded of God's truth. Number three, we're going to get to all this when we read, worship reminds our hearts of our real hope. When you're focused on lies, you are dependent on yourself. In other words, I can't do it. I am going to go broke. I can't get myself a job. How am I going to do it? It ain't about you. Say it ain't about me. It's not about you. You're not the one sustaining yourself right now. You're not keeping yourself alive right now. How many of you, by a show of hands, and raise your hand up high and I'll wait. How many of you have ever seen your own heart? Thank you. How many of you have ever seen your own brain? How do you even know you have one? You don't. You've never seen it. You've never seen your own stomach. You can't not blink. You can't keep your eyes from blinking until I finish this sermon. Try not to go to the bathroom until Friday. Try to stay awake till next Sunday. You can't. You're not even in control of your own body, much less your life. And so number three is that you want to say, my real hope is not in me. It's not in you. The devil's going to say, look what that person did to you. Look what that person did to you. Look what that person did to you. My hope is not in people. It's in him. So when you worship, you are responding. Remember, we worship in spirit and in truth. That is, when you worship in spirit and in truth, you are giving a spontaneous spiritual response to truth. The truth is God loves me. Thank you. The truth is God will never leave me or forsake me. Thank you. The truth is God is great and almighty. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. That's all I got to focus on. And when I have all this drama in my life, oh God, I'm trusting in you. You'll take care of that. And you'll direct me on what to do. You'll give me the peace that I'm not going to worry about and being weighed down by it. Because you ever go through a problem and you're weighing down and it's dragging you down, and all of a sudden you see it from another perspective and you're like, what? You know what the Bible says is going to happen when you see the devil? You're going to go, him? Him? That's what the Bible says you're going to say. That's the guy? I don't know what he looks like. You know, I ain't never met the brother, at least in the flesh. But he's probably about that tall. Probably looks like Yoda, just a little. Number four, worship must take place before, during, and after the battle. Everyone say before.
Before.
Say during.
During.
Say after.
After.
And we'll see it, and we're going to read it all, but here's the thing. I'm praising God every day. That's why I want you to come. One of the reasons I want you to come on time, so you get all the worship, so you don't just walk in late while the worship's happening. And then, oh, yeah, what's going on? Everyone's singing the song. Next thing you know, we're taking an offering. Your heart ain't right. You ain't giving no money. Then the word comes. Oh, yeah, what's he talking about? And next thing you know, what was that? Okay, except coming in and saying, Lord, I'm ready. And by the way, getting yourself ready the night before. And before you come, knowing the devil's going to try to distract you driving here, and that your heart is ready before you come in here to worship God. And then when drama happens, guess what? And when drama happens, if you do that consistently and you learn how to worship God consistently, you learn how to pray to God consistently, you learn how to listen to his voice consistently, when drama comes, you go, oh, okay, praise the Lord. Lord, I just lost my job. Oh, don't worry about it. I'm good. You want to get me better? Yeah, okay. The third time I was cut, the second time from the Chargers, my wife was going for a pregnancy test. And so I got cut, and I came home and told my wife, you're pregnant. She said, how do you know? I just got cut. I mean, that's just how, you know, it's compounds. One problem over here, not that being pregnant is a problem, but you got no insurance, no money, and now you're going to have another baby. That's how it works. God just says, I'm just going to hook it up. Well, I'm going to get the best out of the situation because I want to show you what I can do. And I said, good, I'm good. I was good. I really was good. Matter of fact, my coach called me and said, I got bad news for you. And I'm thinking, if my mother's dead, he wouldn't be the one calling me. I'm trying to think what bad news he would have. I really thought that in my head. And he says, we're going to let you go. I said, oh, that's okay. That's cool. I went in and I prayed for him. I said, me, God's way bigger than this. Way bigger. So let's read the story. Everyone say, Judah. And Judah, for this story, he represents the Jews, not all of them, but the southern part. The Jews were 12 tribes, and then they split 10 to the north called Israel, 2 to the south called Judah. They had a king, Jehoshaphat. The capital was Jerusalem, and they're going to be attacked. And he gets word that three nations, the Ammonites, the Moabites, and Mount Seir, are going to come against him. And so let's see what he does. Remember, worship, God requires a spiritual response in spirit and truth. It's a spiritual response based on the truth of God. When I see the truth of God, the only thing I can do is say, you are holy. Can't say anything else. So look what he says. And by the way, it's not always singing. It's whatever response is. Bow down, you pray, you read the word, you thank people, whatever it is, it's a response. Okay? It says in verse 5, Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah in Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court. This is what he does when he gets news that he's going to be attacked. When people come. Now, by the way, when you get attacked, people say, I'm going to get you fired. Oh, I'm going to talk behind your back, and you're not going to get the dress. Or people you know, are going to hurt you that way. No one's coming against you to kill you. This guy's going to, they're coming against him to kill him, to take his whole kingdom. And look what it says in verse 6. Here's what he says. O Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven, and do you not rule over all kingdoms of the nations, and your hand is there not power and might, so that no one is able to withstand you? That's a truth. That's a fact. That's not information. That's a fact. Let's keep reading. Verse 7. Are not you our God who drove out the inhabitants of the land before your people Israel, and gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend forever? And they dwell in it and have built you a sanctuary in it for your name. What he's talking about history. He says, God, you're the one who gave us this land. You're the one who promised us this land. This is all on God. If God loves you and has established you, nobody can take it. If God wants you to have a job and you do your part, there's nobody can take it. If God wants you to marry that person and you guys do what you're supposed to do, nobody can take it. Nobody. Nobody. Look what it says in verse 8. And they dwell in it and have built you a sanctuary in it for your name. If disaster comes upon us, sword, judgment, pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this temple and in your presence, for your name is in this temple, and we will cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save us. And now here are the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade when they came out of Egypt. But they turned from them and did not destroy them. In other words, when the Jews were delivered from Egypt, God said, I don't want you going on these people's land. He made them go around. I want you to be nice to them. And verse 11, and here they are rewarding us by coming to throw us out of your possession, which you have given us to inherit. God, this is your land that you have given us. By the way, your house is God's. Your clothes are God's. Your car is God's. Your money is God's. Your eyes are God's. Your body's God's. Can I get amen? Amen. But you don't believe that. How do I know you don't believe that? It's by how you react to those things. You hold on to them. You worship them. You brag about them. You don't share them. You don't give it away. You think it's yours. It's God's. It's God's. I went to a funeral the other day, Friday, in New Orleans. 29-year-old young lady. 29. Too young. 29. Her life was short. Gone, but it's God's. God's ways, not our ways. She took nothing with her. Nothing. She just had a baby a month ago, give or take. Didn't take the baby with her, didn't take her family. All left behind. You don't take anything with you. It ain't yours. And look what it says, verse 12. Here's what he's still praying. Oh God, our God, will you not judge them? That's not for me to do. For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming out against us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. How many of you, when you have trials, sometimes you don't know what to do? Raise your hand real high. You don't have to. Just look at God. Stop. Say, God, I can't handle this. He says, I know. One of the reasons I let it happen, because I wanted you to pray to me. I will take care of you. Look what it says. Verse 14, then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehazael, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah. They got some names, brother. A Levite, the son of Asaph, in the midst of the assembly, he said, here's a prophet. The Spirit of the Lord says to him to tell the people, listen, all you Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat. He's getting ready to bring the word. Thus says the Lord God to you, do not be afraid, nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. This is what you need to know. God acknowledges that it is a great multitude. God acknowledges that they got a problem. But guess what he says? It ain't your problem. It ain't your problem. Do you know that feeding you is not your problem? It's God's. Keeping you alive is not your problem. It's God's. All you and I have to do is trust God. And what does that mean? Be obedient to God. And he will do for you what you can't do. He will get you a job you can't get. Now, does that mean you don't fill out your application? Yes, fill out the application. Does that mean you don't have to go on time? Get there on time. Does that mean you don't have to get dressed up, take a shower, brush your teeth, comb your hair? No, do all that as the glory of God. But when you step in the thing, you may not be the most qualified. You may say, I don't even know what I'm doing here. And God says, because I put you there. And there are people in this room, and I'm going to have you raise your hand in a minute. There's people in this room who got jobs who you knew they were better qualified in line before, and you got it. Can I get an amen? And you're like, how did I get this job? Well, let me tell you something. God gave you that job. Now, it's not fair to the other person. Don't worry about that. That's above your pay grade. That other person could be a child molester. Who knows? The other person, God may have a better job for them. Who knows? That's not your business. Your business is to do what God tells you. Do what God tells you. Let's keep reading. And then it says in verse, this is what God says. Okay, all y'all are the nation. There's people coming to kill y'all. And let's say I'm the prophet, and I'm saying, here's what God's going to say to you. Look at what it says in verse 16. Tomorrow, go down against them. They will surely come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. I'm telling you where they're coming. This is what God says. You will not need to fight in this battle. You ain't going to have to do nothing. What? You ain't going to have to do nothing. Position yourselves. This is God talking. This is the prophet talking from God. Position yourselves. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, and the Lord is with you. What is your problem? What is your problem? Think about your drama, your job, your health, whatever it is. Oh, by the way, you may have a cancer and you're going to die. God says, I will fight your battle. Doesn't mean you will live. Not necessarily. We're all going to die. Death is coming. But life after death is better than life before death. Ha! I don't want to die! My wife and I, we hadn't gone on vacation in a year and a half, and I was dying. So January, we went to Hawaii. I love Hawaii. I go to Hawaii on nothing. Just now, some of you, oh, you're not going to be in church. I'm on vacation. Be happy for me. When people die, we're sad they're not there, but we should be happy for them. They're in a better place. They're resting. It's vacation on steroids. Verse 17, you will not need to fight this battle. Position yourself, stand, see, and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, do not fear. Everyone say, do not fear. Or be dismayed. And then it says, tomorrow go out, for the Lord is with you. Then it says, Jehoshaphat. Remember, worship is a response. Read it. He bowed his head with his face to the ground. This is worship. And he said, all Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem bow before the Lord, and they worshiped God. What did they worship? They were responding to truth. Now, if you don't believe the prophet, then you believe a lie. In other words, if you don't believe God, then you're believing a lie. You're focusing on the wrong information. And if you focus on the wrong information, you're going to respond to that information, which is, in fact, a form of worship, and you're going to be doomed. But if you focus on the right information, you will bow and worship and say God is going to take care of it. Let me be clear. It doesn't mean that what you want is going to happen. It means what is right is going to happen. We get upset when we don't get what we want, but what we want is not always what's right. We worship God because he will always do what is right. And right is always right. That's what makes it right. If right wasn't right, it'd be wrong. Therefore, wrong would be right, and we'd be all screwed up, and the Bible would be wrong, and there would be no God. Look, just keep reading. Verse 19, the Levites and the children of Kohathites and the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with their voices loud and high. They sang and sang. Matter of fact, our time's running out. I'm asking the worship team, we're not going to get to do communion. The worship team's going to come out. We're going to sing real quick. And they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord. Everyone say believe in the Lord on 3, 1, 2, 3. Believe in the Lord. It says, believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of his holiness. And as they went out before the army, and they were saying, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Let me back up. They are going out to fight the multitudes. The multitudes that are more than them. And they are saying, praise the Lord. His mercy endures forever. He is going to fight the battle for us. We have faith. Devil, we have faith. We are putting God ahead. What's your drama? What's your pain? Let's keep reading. Verse 22, when they had began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. For the people of Ammon and Moab stood against the inhabitants of Mount Seir to utterly kill and destroy them. And when they made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, they helped to destroy one another. In other words, three nations are coming out. Two went against the one, and when they destroyed them, the two went against each other, and they all killed themselves. What? Here's the thing about biblical narrative, is that when you have a conflict between God's friend and God's enemy, God is always the hero. He always saves the day, and he always saves the day in a way you couldn't have saved it. I'm going to say it again. You got God's enemy and God's friend and conflict. You're one of the two. And by the way, if you're God's enemy, you're going to lose. And someone who you think is inferior to you is going to whoop you because you're really fighting God. So God's enemy and God's friend, they conflict, and there's a conflict, and God's enemy, I mean, God's friend has always got this problem way bigger than him or her. God always is the hero. And God is the hero by saving the day in ways you couldn't have saved it. That means God has a solution to your problem that you will never figure out. You can't do it. So if you're thinking I can't do it, that's exactly how it works. Because it ain't about you. Let's keep reading. Look what it says in verse 28. After the victory, we can start playing because I know my time is running out. After the victory, it says, they came to Jerusalem with stringed instruments and harps and trumpets to the house of the Lord, and the fear of God was on all the kingdoms of those countries when they heard that the Lord fought against the enemies of Israel. They sang before the battle. They sang during the battle. They sang after the battle. And when everybody heard what God had done, they say, we ain't messing with the Israelites. I give you a little nugget. What country in this whole planet is everybody, except the United States, or people attacking Israel still? It's a spiritual battle. And yet, more tourists go there than anywhere in the world. Go figure that. We want to go where the bombs are flying. No, we want to go where God is. Now, God is everywhere, but that's his people that he chose to come through the world through with Jesus. My point is this. You got a problem that's bigger than you? Get focused on the right information and respond to that information of who God is. And let God fight your battle. And by the way, when he does what he does, you mark it in your head. David, when he's going to go fight Goliath, they said, David, you can't fight Goliath. You're not a little boy. He said, hold up, King Saul. When I used to take care of my sheep, and a lion came out after one of my sheep, I know it's not really a word, or a bear came out after one of my sheep, I told my sheep, get on back, and I fought the lion and the bear, and because I defeated the lion and the bear, the Lord did that before, he'll do it again. If you see God's victory in your life, one after another, he starts to train you that's what he does. And then when drama comes, you go, oh, come on, you going to scare me with that? God, handle the light stuff. Let's sing a song. Amen. Death could not hold you down. I want you to be thinking about whatever trial you're going through. Hopefully something was said today that spoke to you. If it did, tweet it out, send it to your world. Your response to your trials is a reflection on the information you are focused on. Your response to your trials is a reflection of the information you're focused on. Don't focus on lies, half-truths. Focus on God's truth. Here's the truth for you. Jesus died on the cross for our sin. His body was beaten for us that we would have victory. Lord, we acknowledge that truth. It's a fact, it happened. And we take this bread acknowledging you died for us because you loved us so much. In Jesus' name, amen. Another fact is that his blood was sinless that we may be eternally cleansed and accepted by him. And we drink this acknowledging that his blood was shed on our behalf. Lord, we focus on that fact that you shed your innocent, sinless, pure blood for our sin, that we may be completely forgiven. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Here's my encouragement to you. We're going to sing as we leave. I want you to put your burden at the feet of God and praise him for who he is. He has not changed. Your problem does not diminish God. Put it at the feet of God and let God change your heart. Amen. Let's sing that one more time. Trusting that you are king and you have victory. We don't know how it's going to happen. We don't know where it's going to come from, but we trust you. And we will trust you no matter how hard it gets. In Jesus' name, amen. If you want prayer, there's going to be people down here to pray with you. God bless you. Come next week.